morning has turned to afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
But the grind carries on.
Not just the grind physically, but the grind mentally.
The Midday Grind, featuring a couple of TV jockeys who've also been through the radio wars.
Serious?
Martin Kilcoyne.
I was a little lit, so I was saying whatever I wanted.
And Charlie Marlowe.
Our top story tonight, John Jay will be back tomorrow. Here's him getting a hit in 2012.
It's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Today, in fact, the station live from 10 until 3 at Zingers. It's a Phillips 66 in Arnold, Missouri, Jeffco Boulevard, 1502 Jeffco Boulevard. And the deal is you can get your gas, your snacks, and plenty of great Budweiser products. I want to tell you about Bud Light Orange. BL Orange, brewed with real orange peels, packs a punch of natural citrus flavors, clean and crisp, new way to taste summer refreshment. Perfect for pool days or packing up the cooler to head to the lake. You can get that here and look for one of those new Reserve Ales that includes the new specialty beer, the Reserve Red Ale. Part of the Reserve Collection, inspired by George Washington's hand-penned recipe from one of his military journals dating back to 1757. So, for the seventh consecutive year, Budweiser will donate a portion of every Freedom Reserve bottle and send it over to Folds of Honor Foundation. Budweiser has donated a total of $14 million towards educational scholarships in partnership with this great organization, Folds of Honor. So stock up on your Budweiser Freedom Reserve Red Ale or Bud Light Orange. You can do that right here at Zingers. Chuck Marlowe is here as well for the Midday Grind. We're right at the front entrance. We're here to greet you, and the donuts are on display from Shamrock. Come by, grab a donut, and get registered to win Cardinal baseball tickets.
Donuts and beer. How can you beat it? I took a picture. I tweeted it out. I mean, how many donuts are over there right now? 100? A free donut for everybody that walks in.
Not free dotum.
But also that Freedom Reserve Red Ale you're talking about, they got the old school bottles. It kind of looks like something you'd see back right after Prohibition ended. They're very cool bottles.
Collector's items.
Collector's items, Martin.
Get those here. For a year and a half now, Kenny Wallace has been part of the program. He is the pride of Arnold, even though he lives in Imperial. Grew up in Arnold, along with the racing family, the Wallaces. Always with us, always on time. And this week, we bring the show to him.
Right to his doorstep.
In Arnold, Missouri. And he's not here yet, but he's going to be here this hour hanging out with us as we talk some Cardinal baseball. Talk a little racing with Kenny, of course. And maybe our favorite Arnolds of all time.
This is good. I like
Arnold
that.
Arnold Palmer, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You're too young. Happy Days. Remember an Arnold?
Yes.
That was Pat Morita?
Mm-hmm.
Gary Coleman, I believe, from Different Strokes. I think he was Arnold on the show. Gary, come back.
There's also a show called Hey Arnold. That's
there
more
was?
Recent, right?
Hey Arnold was a show?
Matt Rocchio.
Yes,
hey
it, was a, it was a Nickelodeon show back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Big thing, Charlie. I like how you brought that up. A movie's coming out, much anticipated by my generation. It's finally going to solve the big mysteries
okay.
from that show.
And I'm glad you brought up Arnold Schwarzenegger, Martin. And I was driving down here to Zingers, and I was listening, of course, when you guys did your tired act of
correct.
Of timing how long it's going to take Charlie to eat a donut or a sandwich and all that.
Grab the
keep
food.
Going back to the well for the same tired joke. But anyway, you were talking about Tyler O'Neill, and we need to play. If not on a daily basis, it needs to be a drop with Tyler O'Neill's dad, Terry, Mr. Canada, talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger and Arnold discussing basically how often he got laid back in the day, if I can say that, at Zingers.
Correct. I think that would be a great promo.
It's a
Tyler
hilarious
O'Neill's
clip.
Dad, and then I told Frank, you also need to hear the clip, because Frank was saying, well, this kid's really in great shape. And I said, you need to hear his dad's very descriptive version.
And that interview ran, I believe, during a Cardinals game. So if people were maybe listening or watching the Cardinals game and didn't hear the interview, I think they would really enjoy the interview, the discussion with the former Mr. Canada, Terry O'Neill.
Yeah, even better. If Kenny doesn't show up, we'll just cue it up in a little while.
Love it.
To the Rich Gulag. What do we have laying around, pal? Let's cue that up and let her rip. Iggy has texted in. Arnold Ziffel And I believe Arnold, was that Green Acres? I think it's a Green Acres reference. You guys are way too young. I'll look it up. Your favorite Arnolds. Not a lot in the history of sports, right? Arnold Palmer being a headliner.
How about Arn Anderson, wrestler? Does that count? Arn Anderson? Was that Four Horsemen? Maybe? Wrestling fans?
Oh,
text
Arnold
in.
Ziffel. Oh, the pig, Green Acres. Arnold was the pig. That's right. Blanking. Thank you. Thank you for the text line that comes directly to me. 855-282-8255 is the text line. Cardinals off today. They're in Minnesota for a two-game series that starts tomorrow. And then back home, the Phillies are here for a four-game set that begins on Thursday night. You're going to get to see Jack Flaherty. And then you'll see Miles Michaelis on the mound in this series. And then you'll probably see a little more of Jack Flaherty because Adam Wainwright, all indications, would be going to the disabled list. He more or less said that after the game. Six walks, first time in his career. Hard to watch. First time Mike Maddux went out there, I thought they were going to take him out. They gave one more batter. And then Spangenberg got the base hit, and he was done. But he said it was the third pitch of the game where he realized his right elbow wasn't right. I don't know if you do an extra, like, instead of doing the one rehab assignment last week, if a second one, if it would have mattered. I don't think it was a question of getting more work. If you're not healthy, you're not healthy. And it seems like this is the third DL stint this year. I don't know what's going to make, we'll ask Dr. Rick for his opinion, but I don't know what makes it all of a sudden feel better or get better when you're in the middle of the season.
And we'll see if we see Adam Wainwright again as a starter in 2018. But if down the road,
sure. I think for sure.
As a starter?
I think at least one
okay.
more time.
Well, I hope that's
maybe
the case.
Maybe a month away.
Because we want him to get back right and healthy, even though the Cardinals, you would think, would have a lot of other good options. But I do think if Adam Wainwright is going to be a starter again in 2018 for the Cardinals, he shouldn't just do the one rehab start where he throws 55 or 60 pitches. He needs to have two or three. He needs to build up to 90 or so pitches, and that's only fair to the Cardinals, to him, that he can go out there and they don't have to set up a piggyback situation with a Gant, and that you know for two or three outings in the minors he looks good before trying him in the bigs again. I also think, and I was kind of on Twitter yesterday, and some people were talking and saying, well, hey, if Waino realized in his warm-up pitch right before the game that something happened, he should have just told people right then. But I'm thinking if you're already out there warming up, I mean, you're going to tax the bullpen either way. At that point, don't you think you just try to get whatever you can from him without hurting the team?
I think he probably thought, I could just gut through it. I won't be at my best. It's going to hurt a little bit, but I'll just try and at least give him four innings. I guarantee in his mind he thought, I can just get through it for a little while. I'm not throwing an eight shutout innings. I bet you he thought he could get through it a little bit.
And that's the thing. Coming off an extra inning game, even though you have an off day coming up to help the bullpen, Adam Wainwright knows at that point he's probably not even going five. But in his mindset, he's thinking, okay, if I give them two, that's at least better than zero.
And it's why John Gant was still there.
Right.
They kind of knew you got a longer guy in Gant who could hop in there. And let's be honest, every Wainwright start, they have to have a contingency plan if he's out early.
So didn't I say this months ago about the piggyback with Jack Flaherty?
You wanted him and Flaherty to tag team?
What if it's not that crazy.
What if the probables for starting pitchers now just started listing a slash?
What did they do with Gant yesterday? Gant was there for basically a piggyback type situation.
I mean, I brought that up when we were talking about saying there's no injuries with Flaherty and Reyes coming up. We're talking about how there's going to be a log jam with how many starting pitchers you have. I brought up that as essentially the way to keep both Weaver and Waka in the rotation. It was essentially going into a four-man and having that fifth one be, because now we know that, obviously we know with Waka, you're not letting him see the rotation a third time, the lineup a third time. Weaver, we don't know how, is he a guy who can go six consistently? Why not combine him in that way?
Crazy thing about the division right now, the Brewers lead, and I've tried to unask the question I asked Frank like 2 weeks ago, when the Cubs went into first, I said, is this it now? They're just going to grab hold, and the rest of the year, let's say 70-80% of the year, the Cubs will dominate this division.
We all agreed with you, too, kind of.
And then since then, hey, the Pirates are in first. Hey, the Brewers are in first. Hey, the Cards are in first. There's just a lot of leapfrogging. Again, the Cubs are in fourth place right now, one game out. I think this is way more fun. It'd be great if this continued. If you were in September and it's still a four-team race, I think the bet would be that Pittsburgh's going to drop off at some point. But they just ended a five-game winning streak. It'd be a lot of fun if you went into August, September, and all four of these teams have a shot.
and all of a sudden when you play the Reds, it's not a guaranteed win. They've won six in a row.
Matt Harvey?
Six in a row. So Jim Riggleman, he's a good baseball man, Chuck. You know what? He's a good baseball man.
And here's what's always great, I feel like, with a guy like Jim Riggleman, where he's the interim coach, interim manager, and then all of a sudden they start to play well. And everybody kind of likes him. At the end of the year, it's kind of the rah-rah. Let's get Jim Riggleman that three-year contract to be the manager, which deep down the organization probably doesn't want to do that. But if they have too much success, maybe you have to make that move.
But how good are they going to be next year? They're going to be similar to this year? I think you should almost say, I think that they're probably looking for something they could sell people and say, hey, Riggs came in and gave us a little bump, man. We're going to ride him for a little while. And then they look at each other in the boardroom and say, we're not going to be any good anyway. What's the big deal?
I also think, and it's an easy call to make, but the Pirates, I see them falling off for one main reason, that at the end of the year, if all these teams are still in it, you know the Cubs, they look at this window, they're going to try to make a big move. And we've read about potentially Manny Machado. You would think this is the year the Cardinals make a move to go for it after not making the postseason for 2 years. And the Brewers, we've heard the last 6 months or so, basically into the offseason, about wanting to add a starting pitcher. They have a lot of talented outfielders. I would think that if all these teams are still in it, let's say at game 100 around the trading deadline, I could see the Cardinals, Brewers, and Cubs all trying to improve. I could see the Pirates just kind of saying, eh, we just traded Gerrit Cole and Andrew McCutchen in the offseason. Are we really going for it this year? Maybe they're this year's Brewers from last year. You know what I'm saying? They're good. They didn't really want to be good.
And at some point when they don't make a deal or they trade off a part, they say, hey, folks, we didn't expect to be any good. You got bonus baseball this
exactly.
year. Exactly. Enjoy your May. You weren't supposed to be any good. And in Chicago, meantime, they're writing articles about the $300-plus million that they're more or less wasting because of Hayward and Darvish. Yu Darvish, by the way, is going to come off the DL. He was on the DL with the flu.
It happens.
He's 0-3, wins don't matter, with a 6.00 ERA.
But it's the last year of the deal, right?
It's the first year.
It's the first year of the deal.
So the Cubs have got issues, the Cardinals have issues, and yet they're sitting here a half game out of first place. The main issue is probably your lineup, because at least with the injuries and a rotation, if Weaver struggles, you got options. If Wainwright's injured, you've got options. With the lineup, I think what you have to do is find a way every night where between Fowler, Carpenter, and Wong, I can't have all three. At least one of those guys every night has to be on the bench for me. And if it means Bader gets a start for Fowler, if it means Jerko's in for Carpenter, I got to find a way every night to not have all three of those guys. I can't have all three at the same time in the lineup.
And I think you want Colton Wong out there, especially for his
more
defense.
More so than the others.
He's bringing you plus defense, whereas Carpenter, not so much. Dexter Fowler in right field is probably giving you, I haven't looked at all the metrics, but solid defense out there.
You didn't do metrics?
I did the morning after. You didn't hear? This is my fourth hour of radio, baby.
Are you repeating any of your hot takes?
Sometimes I do repeat my opinions, Martin, because my opinions don't change from 7 a.m. till noon.
The audience cycles on and off. Why don't you give them a fresh take?
Here's a fresh take. I'm not as worried about the offense as everybody else is because, look, Harrison Bader is a big league player. He brings energy. He's exciting. He can run. He can make things happen. Jed Jerko is a professional hitter. He's going to give you solid production at the plate and in the field. And the other thing is, do you really think Matt Carpenter and Dexter Fowler are going to hit 150 for the rest of the year? Even if you don't buy into all the luck stuff, these guys have a track record. You're going to have some positive regression. To the mean, you're going to have some numbers getting back to what these guys have put up over 6 or 7 years in the major leagues. They're not going to be 150 hitters all season. These guys have a streak in them where they're going to have a really hot month.
And you're six games over 500
yeah.
with those guys hitting that poorly. I think that's legit, that at some point it'll turn. It's like the Reds. I mean, it's never quite as bad as you think it is. It's going to turn a little bit. Carpenter will hit a little bit. Fowler will hit a little. I mean, they're not going to be this. I agree with that.
Even if it's 240.
But even Ozuna hasn't really taken off. I mean, who's hit really well? Pham, Jerko when he plays.
Martinez early.
Martinez for the most part. He's been a little better lately, cool off a little bit. But for the most part, you got a bunch of guys who have. I mean, Paul DeJong's hit some home runs, but do you feel like Paul DeJong has been on any kind of tear? Not really. I think there's more there with almost every guy.
And DeJong seems to be a pretty streaky hitter in terms of his home runs coming in bunches. When he hit the home run over the weekend, where everybody did on Friday night, you kind of said to yourself, it had been a while since I had mentioned the name Paul DeJong, but he seems to be a guy where once he hits one out, it wouldn't surprise if he hit five home runs in a week.
Midday Grind coming to you live today from Zingers on Jeffco Boulevard, 1502 Jeffco Boulevard. Free donuts provided by Shamrock Donuts. We've got Cardinal tickets. Get registered for those. We'll do a little drawing later. The hard line's going to be here until 3 o'clock. And for all your Cardinal needs, get those tickets now at cardinals.com. Interested in some of the theme nights, you can go to the /promotion. Has the Star Wars night happened yet? Is it always on May 4th?
Was it May 4th?
I think that's different, though, than the actual Cardinals Star Wars night. I think May the 4th, we all have fun with it.
When's Beretta night at the ballpark? How about Dukes of Hazzard?
Looks like Star Wars night for the Cardinals is June 13th.
See? It's still coming.
That's always a fun night, though. Some great costumes out there.
Hey, Mike, what do you think about dressing up like Chewbacca in the dugout tonight? Well, I like the way we go about it, but probably won't do that, no.
Star Wars night, that's something where Joe Madden would really
thrive,
where he'd have all of his
Darth
players. He would force them. He'd say, look, this is not voluntary. It is mandatory that everybody must dress up either on the dark side or a good guy.
you'll be docked. Wilson Contreras, I did this, I drew it out of a hat, kind of like our lineup some days.
You're Jar Jar Binks.
You got to lead off one day because I drew it out of a hat. You're Yoda. Tomorrow, I'm going to need you to show up in proper costume.
# that's liberal arts.
Yes. Biggest news of the day, probably on a Monday here, is the Supreme Court ruling. People like Charlie, who enjoy gambling mm-hmm. as much as they enjoy oxygen.
Life.
The Supreme Court has issued their ruling in the New Jersey sports gambling case, declaring that Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act is unconstitutional, leaving states to decide individually if they would like to offer sports betting. So here's the questions that you should be asking. Can I now bet on single-game sports with a legal bookmaker in the United States? As of right now, it's only Nevada. However, it's going to change quickly. New Jersey, for example, hopes to have their legalized betting up in time for the NBA Finals. Other states are likely to follow. The Supreme Court invalidated what was the federal prohibition on state-sponsored sports betting. It's now up to those states to decide for themselves on the issue. If only we could find out where our governor is, we could ask him his stance on this. Excuse me, Governor. We're leaving the courthouse today. Charlie and McKernan are chasing down Eric Wrightson. Can we get your thoughts, Governor, on the sports gambling?
And also, it's hard to kind of keep track of which trial Wrightson is at on that particular day. But look. I'm half kidding when I say this. This is something that unites Democrats and Republicans. A lot of people like to gamble on sports. And this is going to happen. Now, maybe in Missouri, we're one of the last states to enact this and let it happen. But seriously, I think this is something that we always talk about bipartisanship and nobody can agree on anything. Democrats, Republicans, everybody likes to gamble on sports. Let's do it.
In fairness, I was earlier criticizing, making some jokes about Missouri being behind the times when it comes to betting.
And then people say, why do you hate Missouri?
Yeah, people came down to me, which, honestly, it felt good to be at that level of my career already. It felt nice. But ESPN,
the hate.
I liked it. ESPN actually put out a very useful infographic talking about what the sports betting bill tracker, essentially. So Nevada has already grandfathered in because of this law. Nevada's all set to go. New Jersey's obviously going to has recently had a bill passed. There's four other states that have also had recently bills passed. Here's the thing that surprised me. Missouri is one of, I want to say it looks like, about a dozen states that have recently introduced a bill that has not been passed. And then the majority of the country, about 30 states it looks like, have no recent bill introduced. So in a way, Missouri's actually ahead of the majority here when it comes to this. Now, again, this is just a recent bill introduced. I don't think there's really been much debate or anything on it. But again, here, a little bit ahead of the times, a little bit more than I expected.
Is that the bill that has to do with the professional sports teams in the state wanting a piece?
That's a larger question on this entire thing. One of the big things in this entire ruling is that the sports leagues want a 1% take.
Which doesn't make sense to me.
From the casinos so that they can then turn that extra money they would get from that 1% into expanding their anti-corruption
But that's, to me, that's
security,
crazy.
Whatever. The one in Missouri, though, in January 2018, Representative Bart Corman introduced a new bill that would allow already licensed riverboat casinos and daily fantasy companies to expand their offering to include traditional sports betting. So that's actually taking the framework that's already mostly legal here and just expanding it within that one thing. I would be shocked if it goes beyond that in Missouri, to be 100% honest. I think the riverboat casinos having sports books is probably about as far as we get.
We hear every once in a while with college about point shaving scandals. There's one at University of Toledo, Arizona State a while back.
Aren't you from Toledo?
I am from Toledo. 70s, what, Boston College? So I get that potentially if you could get a player in college athletics. But we're talking, if you're talking professional sports, these guys are making sometimes $30 million a year. There's no way. Now maybe an official or an umpire who's making, I don't know, $250,000 a year. But how are you going to try to get a professional athlete to throw a game when he's making $10 million? You're not going to be able to give him enough money to do that, to make it worth his or her while.
A great point here about 15 minutes ago on Twitter by Clay Travis, responding to somebody. He said, legalizing sports gambling makes 15 games less likely because abnormal wager patterns will catch it happening. He's 100% right there. This is going to be so tied into the casinos have such unbelievably raw numbers of analytics that as soon as a pattern emerges that someone's betting wildly and winning against anybody else, they're going to hone in on that person and start asking ridiculous amounts of questions. I think he's 100% right there. I think legalizing it minimizes corruption because, again, you have everyone tied into a system where they're looking for those kind of abnormalities.
And that's absolutely right, because it was Vegas that flagged the Tim Donaghy situation,
yes,
because
exactly.
They're realizing something is up when they're tracking these games and seeing, wait, why every time this particular ref is out there are we seeing abnormalities in our numbers? They're the ones that want to keep it on the up and up because they have millions of dollars on the line. Look who it is. Zingers.
He is the big
Ladies
guy.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, look at that.
The pride of Arnold, Missouri has arrived here at Zingers. Jeffco Boulevard, 1502 Jeffco Boulevard. We interrupt our gambling talk. This will allow me to start wagering a lot more on my NASCAR picks to click every week, which I usually just text to Charlie and Jess over the week. Like last weekend going into Kansas, I was on board. I felt like Harvick was going to have a good run. I thought Truex Jr. might be his best competition, but I thought maybe he'd catch him late in the race. And I'll be damned if that isn't what happened on Saturday night at Kansas Speedway. Kenny Wallace is here. Kenny, great to be in your neck of the woods.
Yes.
I'm sorry we weren't any closer.
We're not as redneck as we seemed, are we?
Arnold's
never. A good joint.
We love Arnold.
Love it.
Yes.
The home of Fox High School, my
yes.
favorite high school.
Yes, I
good
love
to
it.
See you, my man. You're on your little break from TV, correct?
Oh, man, as you can tell, I don't shave on purpose to save my skin. Yes, on my little break. You don't have to change the NASCAR just because I'm here. But
I'm kidding. They're talking about gambling.
Yes, I
and
saw
it's legalized,
that.
And I'm wondering, how much do you know in friends' years?
Yeah.
Is there some wagering that goes, like we all say, hey, oh. I'll bet you on the football game this weekend. What about a NASCAR?
Yes. Well, you know, Denny Hamlin, who is a NASCAR driver, is in
I like how he said he's a NASCAR driver. How little do you think we know about racing?
Well, you never know. You never know. But I will say this. Denny Hamlin is good friends with Michael Jordan, the great basketball player. And as we know, those two love to gamble. Now, I will say this.
How did Denny Hamlin become friends with Michael Jordan?
Well, Denny's a winner. He wins a lot, and somehow he got hooked up with the Jordan brand. So much to, 3 years ago, I'm out in California at the Toyota get-together. You know, everybody that has anything to do with Toyota, myself, whether it's dirt racing, NASCAR, motorcycle racers, drag racers, we go out there, and me and Denny Hamlin sitting at the same table. And I looked at Denny's shoes, and I said, man, I like your shoes. They were tennis shoes. Forgetting that Denny wears the Jordan brand. So Denny Hamlin says, oh, really, you do? Man, I'm telling you what, it wasn't a week later, three brand-new pairs of tennis shoes showed up at my address, and I wore them all out. They're just about all done. And so – anyway, Denny Hamlin, I expect him, if gambling becomes legal in NASCAR, which I guess they have fantasy teams.
Yeah, I bet they do.
He will be the biggest one.
Denny Hamlin.
Denny Hamlin.
He'll be betting on himself.
Yeah.
And you know what? When you have gambling, it's great for TV ratings. Because even if the game is, you know, out of hand if it's a four-touchdown margin or in a basketball game if it's 17 points. But people are watching at the end to see if they win their bet. If the spread's 17 points, if the over-under's 200, they're watching till the end because of their bets.
There's no doubt in my mind that all sports, you know, football, you name it, but especially football, the sport has got much more popular. Because I know ladies that really didn't care much about football. They love it now because they're getting involved in those fantasy leagues. And my sister-in-law, Kelly and Bogey, man, they, you know, she used to not pay attention to football. Now she's all over it, and she's better at fantasy than he is. So anyway, there's talk already that the NASCAR media is going wild, and I think that's a proper term. Going wild, meaning they're already on Twitter. They're saying, hey, what about if NASCAR, during these stages, they take a longer break and they treat it like horse racing? Now you go to the bet window.
Okay.
Seriously.
Bet on each stage.
Makes sense.
Well, anyway, who knows? But it has definitely turned the United States on its ears, because I was watching headline news this morning drinking coffee, and it's like they busted in. Breaking news. Sports gambling is going to be legal. And who knows? It is a huge story.
And Charlie's sort of our gambling expert on the show, on the station. Do you think Vegas hates this for them? Does it discourage people to use the Vegas books? Now you just go to your New Jersey, your Missouri book, or whoever. I mean, do you think ultimately Vegas gets dinged a little bit? They're still the mecca for tourism and gambling.
I mean, people that go out to Vegas to party and, to gamble. But if you really want to gamble, you can do it on your phone now. You can do it through all of these sites, MyBookie, Bovada. I would think, though, that if you're somebody who likes to gamble, maybe it's going to affect more kind of your corner store bookie, and you'd rather go through Hollywood Casino, and they have a legit sports book.
Hey, what about Vinny over
right
here?
There.
You just put him out of business?
Vinny might be out of business. Maybe Vinny goes to work for the sports book.
Vinny doesn't want to work for the sports book. Vinny's got a little notepad, and he sits in the back of his favorite restaurant, scribbles little notes, because your daddy is into me about two large. Mm-hmm.
Sweet daddy. Hey, we got a guy. I can't say his name. You talk about making like $1 billion in gambling. My buddy, this is Buddha, by the way.
Buddha. Buddha's here.
Does he look like a Buddha?
Buddha's here.
Yeah, Joe Bilk. But we call him Buddha because he looks like a Buddha. But anyway,
like Buddha.
We.
And that's a compliment, right?
Yeah.
Because I got my back to him.
No, it's a compliment. Buddha's a good dude. But he knows who I'm talking about. I don't want to use the man's name. But we got a guy in racing right now that has some serious jack. Because how's it go, Buddha? He talking about Steve. I won't say his last name. He made all that money. He puts in video poker everywhere and sold his business, made about $1 billion, and now he runs dirt, and we love him because he's paying it forward.
I bet.
But, you know, the point of the story is you all bring up a good point, is that there's so much gambling everywhere, whether it's from here to the Arkansas line, you know, you can't do this, so you go over the line, you do this. How is this going to affect everything if everything just becomes, you know, I know it's a different type, but it's going to be interesting.
And Missouri always seems to be slow, like, to react as a state. Like, well, we'll see how it goes. And I just wonder in this current climate, like, if they'll – well, we'll get to that. And I know Rock read some of the comments in the past where it was brought up. If I'm a Hollywood casino which sponsors the press box, I love it because more people want to come out and actually just start gambling on the – go watch the Cardinal game, drink a Bud Light, and – throw a little money down on a Weaver start or a Flaherty start.
Well, and you're keeping the money, hopefully, in the state of Missouri, and there's tax issues there as well. I was reading an article about horse racing in Hong Kong, where it's kind of like the lottery here, where the money goes to education. Same there. The money they make off the gambling, the horse racing, goes to all kinds of charities in Hong Kong.
I could see, sitting in my seat at Busch Stadium, and knowing that Dexter Fowler is going to come up in the next inning, do I get up out of my seat and go place a bet?
He's going to homer her.
No, I know we're exaggerating. But seriously, though, it does open up a can of worms. Like, how much do you do now? You know. So, anyway, good topic.
Great to see you. Kenny Wallace is here, the pride of Arnold, Missouri.
You darn right.
High School.
Yes.
Fox Sports 1. It's all about Fox with you, your high school, your network.
Never thought about that.
And I do have a non-serious question. How are you so skinny? Because every time I see you on Twitter, you're drinking like 10 beers.
Yeah.
And when I need to lose weight, the first thing I have to do is give up beer.
So I am 160 pounds. I'm 5'10 and a half. And the reason I am the weight I am is because, you know, you have to do a NASCAR physical. This lady in line here. This is kind of odd. We're sitting here doing this. Is 590 the fan?
How are you,
Martin Kilcoin?
Have a free donut.
Channel 2 at night, and look at what they do in the day. We're sitting here right at
we're
the
greeting,
damn,
isn't it? Where?
We're at the damn cash register, yeah, but I love it because I'm a people person.
We'll take.
Will you buy me an iced tea, please? No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, getting back to my weight. That's my hey. Somebody now I'm jumping. Listen to this. Somebody come up to me and said, "Wallace, you're really screwed up." I said, "Do you think I want to be this way?" I said, "I was born ADD, hyperactive, Tourette's. I can't help myself."
People love you, man.
The Tourette's. Well, then, if you swear, you say that wasn't me. It was the Tourette's.
That it wasn't me. Hey, that was a song. That wasn't me. But
Maggie.
But my weight. You had to get a NASCAR physical every year. Okay, so when you race NASCAR, you have to get a physical. Now, this is not a little physical. This is a real physical, right? I mean, even you know they do the brain deal. In case you get a concussion, then you take the concussion test also. So it's all tied in. Well, I got to be good friends with my doctor. You know, growing up, you don't care about yourself. You just eat everything fried and
right.
Grease, and you just yahoo. And well, anyway, they said, okay, your cholesterol's 196. And then all of a sudden what woke me up is my blood sugar was 124. Now, I can tell you where that came from. Me and Mom staying up. When I was about 8 years old, watching the Johnny Carson show with a bowl of vanilla ice cream and a Coke. Right. So that went on too long. So now the reason you see me the way I am is because
you watch what you eat.
Salmon, grilled chicken, everything, no grease, nothing fried, no sugar, because I want to live, you know. And so I got, you know, I lost all that weight. And people started making me feel bad. They're, man, damn, Wallace has got AIDS. What's wrong with him? I said, easy now. Back it up. Back it up, Jack.
That's pretty harsh right there.
Oh, it was brutal. So, yeah, but that's, you know, that's the way to go.
That's Twitter.
Anytime you lose weight, you got AIDS. I mean, that's what people think. Leave it up to me to say it twice on 590 The Fan. But that's the way it is.
Way to work the station logo in right after that.
So then I go to my guy, and he goes, you just tell them that skinny look you have is a look of health. So,
there
yeah,
you go.
So that's it.
I got to say, he still didn't really answer the question. How can you drink 10 beers and not gain weight? But that's the
key. You don't drink
is,
a lot.
Okay.
He just takes a picture with the beer.
Correct.
For the sponsors,
man,
right? Has one.
And I drank.
Sip it.
I drank, I guarantee you, 6 Bud Lights yesterday. We got back from Arkansas, drove the hauler up the driveway at 12:30, honked the horn. My daughter says, Dad, you were exactly right. I looked over 12:31. Immediately, I got a Bud Light, poured it in a cup, and sat out in the sun, and I drank about 6-7 Bud Lights.
You were in the perfect spot here. You're sitting in front of a Bud Light,
yes.
Budweiser, Bud Select.
I love it.
Display here at Zingers. You're going to be mad at me. I actually have to go, but I know you're going to allow me to go because I'm going up to Peoria to watch Alex Reyes pitch tonight
for Fox
2, and I know you'll be watching Channel 2 for that coverage tonight.
And we also have a little redneck racetrack up there. That Buddha, when are we running? That's the Summer National race. That's June 14th,
I think you
14th,
should, next
Wednesday.
Segment, you guys got to put Buddha on the air when I go out of here, get out of here.
Wednesday.
He says no. He doesn't want to be on air.
Wednesday, June 14th is the very first race for if the nickname's called the Hell Tour because it's officially the Summer Nationals. It means we race every day for one month. And it starts at Peoria on the rough side.
Where's that track at?
The rough
in
side.
Peoria.
On the rough side. It'd be equal to Sauljay.
Okay. No, because I went to school up there. And I'm trying to think where the track
is. East Peoria?
It's right on the same road.
Peoria's fun. It's a fun town.
Well, I got to get out of here, but these guys are going to take you up till 1 o'clock. Charlie and Kenny probably talking some baseball, being denied an interview by Buddha. Guys named Buddha never want to be interviewed. They don't want to. That's part of their presence.
Buddha's wanted by the police. That's
well,
the only
there's
thing.
Another reason. Okay. That's another reason. Hey, Offenburg Hyundai, the place to go in O'Fallon, Illinois. Your next vehicle, check them out online. OffenbergHyundai.com, Highway 64, downtown St. Louis. You're about 10, 15 minutes away. It's a short ride to a great deal. Also, pre-owned vehicles on the lot. If you've got something in mind, let them know. They'll find that car for you. Great service. That's what you expect with the Offenburg name and great cars because they're Hyundais. OffenbergHyundai.com. Charlie and Kenny will take you home here on the Midday Grind. I'll see you through the TV tonight. I'm going to wave to you from Peoria, okay?
Yes, I can't wait.
Loyal viewer, thank you for coming out. the pride of Arnold, hanging with us here in Arnold at Zingers, 1502 Jeffco Boulevard. Great to see you, buddy.
It's good to see you.
He's like, are we going to a break or what?
All right. I can't believe you're leaving us.
Charlie,
can you believe that?
It's an excused absence. It's Cardinal related.
Take a donut on your way out. Free donuts here at Zingers Mart.
Oh, my Lord.